Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. What a selection of beer. Imports, domestics, microbrews. That tailgate party is extra special after you make the stop to Reagan Street. And on top of that, they have water, soft drinks, snacks. The peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's one-stop shopping at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin left.
He's on his way with the Chief Dave Ritchie up to Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. He's hopefully the chief is driving. Really hope he they give him the keys around here. So Tony's at the catbird seat for the
Tony. Great to see you. I know that you know Bob and I. You know Bob said to me the other day. He says you know you and I need to travel light. Suddenly Kevin goes to Central Mountain. I'm like going okay. I hear you.
Yeah, alrighty. Yeah. So they have to call in the B team. You know how that is, Steve, don't you?
It's like going to the bullpen and bringing in Melanson.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of baseball, Steve, we have an update from our sister city of Toronto to the north. It is now 4-4 in the top of the 11th inning.
Hey, I want to thank David Price very much.
Okay.
I've always had this theory about power pitchers being effective, and on October... Yesterday was his sixth consecutive loss. Thanks, David. All right.
Hey, this could be tough if Texas wins, takes the first two in Toronto. Yep. Not a lot of teams come back down 2-0 when they have to go to the other team's home.
Not in the best of five.
Right.
Nope. Hey, all right. Let's talk some basketball. Let's bring in the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, Patrick Chambers. Coach, welcome.
Great to be here, Steve. I want to go on record now to tea time. You know, at 1 o'clock, and you were a couple minutes late. So I'm just letting you know, we'd like to be on time here at the radio show.
I understand that. Of course, I had to insert a credit card to pay to park. Exactly how did you get here?
You know, I drove as well. Or should I say, I was being driven as well.
But you did get here first, and it was a consideration of having you host the show. So since you got here first, you can ask me the questions.
So, Steve, yes, and your time here.
Yes, Patrick.
What's been the toughest thing for you to call? What game was the toughest thing for you to call? Was it a football game? Was it an end-of-game situation? What is one of those memorable, dig in your pocket, come out with something magical, Steve Jones moments? How about that, guys?
Well, that's a great question.
How about that?
That's a great question.
Let me chew on that for a second.
Oh, no. There's a bunch. I actually do
your
not
favorite. Think, let's just go your
I
favorite.
I do not plan ahead of time what I'm going to say. In other words, because I've had a chance, obviously, to call history.
Sure.
So, in other words, I knew that there was a possibility somebody would win game 324. Somebody would win game 400, game 409. Okay? So I knew all that going in. But I decided just to let it play and see what I said.
With your personality too, if you scripted it, it wouldn't come off as genuine as it does.
Well, it's interesting because Jack Buck, who did the Cardinals for years, Joe Buck's
father.
Oh
yeah, his father, sure.
He decided to script Mark McGwire's 61st home run.
Yeah.
And he immediately said he regretted it. He said, I've never done that much before in my life, and I shouldn't have done it this time. And I kind of took that as a cue of like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, there's a veteran who knows. Now, as for your questions.
You didn't really answer my questions.
Oh, okay. I mean,
He really didn't see.
Yeah, but then that's me too.
He just wanted to say what he wanted to say, kind of like what coaches do sometimes. Yeah.
But that would be like me taking credit. Like, I really thought this call was great.
I get you. I enjoy your humility.
That's not me.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
In the toughest situation that you've been in. Well, no, I want to talk, first of all, Tim Frazier, DJ Newbill, Ross. What kind of places are they in for
awesome.
You right now?
Doing a great job.
Because you just talked with all of them. That's why.
I was just on FaceTime with Tim on the way over here. He's doing phenomenal. Had a real good game last night. Very confident. You know, he's got to win his spot, though. And we just talked about go get some attitude points and make everybody better around you and be a great locker room guy, be the first one there and the last one to leave. All the stuff that we've all known that Tim Frazier's all about.
Sure.
So it's nothing that he's going to change. DJ Newbill's doing great. He's adjusting to life in France, and he's doing great. Again, I think we FaceTime with him more than anybody because he's over there by himself, and it's something very new for him. I texted with Ross a few days ago. Seems to be doing really well, and it's a major, major adjustment. But like I said, not many coaches in the country can say they developed an NBA player and an NFL player. So
you are the jack of all trades.
So don't come here to play basketball. Come here to play basketball. I'll help you play football. Anyway, so those guys are doing really well representing us.
Every team, regardless of how many people you have back, does take on its own personality. So how long does it take you to get a gauge, for example, on what the personality of this upcoming season will be? How long does that take? Is it preseason? Do you have to see it in some games?
Yeah, it's going to be a little while.
Yeah,
I think it's going to take a little time for us to really see the identity of this team. I like to think my first few years was about how hard we played, defending and rebounding. Kind of took on my personality a little bit, our staff's personality, Tim Frazier's personality, then DJ's personality, and DJ and Ross. And so now it's like there's no clear-cut guy because Tim would win attitude every day or our stats in practice, and
sure.
DJ would win every other day our stats in practice. Right now it's different guy every day, so which is I think is a great thing.
Sure.
Because now I think we have more talent, more skill across the board. So it's going to be exciting to see how this team it gets a little bit more cohesive, builds a little bit more chemistry, and then, you know, a couple of these scrimmages, these silent scrimmages I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We'll get a good idea of, you know, who we might be and a little forecasting of what's in the future.
This will be the first time since you've been here where every player on the roster is one you recruited. Now, obviously, when you take over players, then you say to yourself, I would have recruited that guy.
Sure.
You know, and Tim Frazier is one of those guys.
Sure.
You would have recruited him.
Sure.
So, but this is the first time where everybody's been there that you recruited, where you get a gauge on their personality before you brought them in. How much does that help you in terms of the kind of shape you think they are mentally because you have that gauge?
Yeah, I think it's important because when you first come into a job like I did, you have to get to know the players, so you have to make sure you set time aside to really develop those relationships.
Right.
So for the past few years with Josh and Mike and Davis and Shep and BT and all the, you've developed earlier prior relationships,
right.
So you have a great... You know the temperature of the guy. You know the temperature of what they're all about, the programs that they came from. You know, I had to do more research on Tim. I had to do more research on Ross Travis to get an idea of what his background was and who he played for and where he's coming from. So it did take a little while, but I think because they know who I am, because they know how I coach, because they've been at prior practices, they're definitely a step ahead in gaining a great understanding of what we're all about and what we're built on. It's defending, it's rebounding, it's playing as hard as you can and doing it with a great attitude.
While you and I can't talk about what you've done in recruiting to this point, we won't be able to do that until that Wednesday.
November 11th. I don't know if...
Yeah.
I can't believe I remembered that date off the top of my head.
It's a Wednesday. And but what kind of difference has it made in recruiting, to go back to the previous question, that everybody that you have in that locker room is somebody you already have recruited?
Yeah, I mean...
This is the recruiting, but where players help you recruit.
I knew exactly where you're going with it, and we're excited about the future, there's no question, but it's because of the players. Everybody wants to give me credit and our staff credit, and they deserve a ton of credit. They've worked tirelessly. They worked so hard.
Right.
But it comes down to the players. Do you want to be in this locker room? Do you want to play with these guys? Do you think you can do something special? Do you think you can be consistent and win games and fight for a Big Ten championship and go to the NCAA tournament on a consistent basis? And I think that's what we've all done. This program right now, with the direction we're headed in, I think it's built to last, and we're hoping to see consistent results on a yearly basis.
What does it mean to you when the current players say to you, Coach, he's our kind of guy?
It's critical. That's a guy that I want, and that's a guy that I will go tunnel vision on and make sure that I'm communicating with on a daily basis. So I will listen to my players. And there's been there's been a few guys that they're like, he doesn't fit. This doesn't fit. This doesn't work here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at that point where we can make those kind of decisions.
Next part of this, let's get to this current team. As you get into this preseason, and you're rolling with your preseason right now, what are some things you want to see right away that tell you you're going in the right direction before you get into those nobody talks about scrimmages?
You know, the biggest thing I've been drilling the last couple of days is consistency.
Yeah,
I just felt like my prior years we haven't been as consistent. You know, every night I need to understand who I'm coaching. Yeah. I mean, over the past 4 years here, I wasn't sure who I was going to get. And I can understand that from a freshman, right? We all know the freshman roller coaster in the Big Ten is just brutal, right? You're going to get a 20-point effort, you're going to get a 2-point effort. Yeah. All I'm looking for...
And February 1st means something.
Yeah, there's no question. So I'm just looking for consistency. I want consistent in every practice for the hour and 20 minutes that we're going to go hard. I want consistency. And if I can get that, then I'll have a better understanding of when we play VMI, who I'm going to put out there and the trust and belief I have in, and then stick with the script, stick with the offensive game plan instead of making adjustments at the 12-minute under 12-minute timeout, under 4-minute timeout. Oh, he's not in it today. Yeah. Let's go with this action instead. Instead, we're just looking for consistency, and I think that'll give us a better January. January's been very difficult for us,
yes,
which will lead us into a great February and even better Marches.
When you do film work with them, are they receptive right away and you're seeing the results of film work on a practice floor that tells you, A, they're listening, and B, that they're sending you a direction of consistency?
We did film yesterday, Steve. You know me.
Yes.
Sometimes we have visual learners, and I think it's important because they think they did this correctly, and you're trying to coach them. Not that they're uncoachable, but it's sometimes just better to reinforce, hey, this is what we need to do here in these situations.
Well, every player's different as to how they learn.
There's no question. Some can learn right off.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they did wrong,
yeah,
and then some players need to watch it on film. And either way, we have to get it through. But film is very important, and we're building good habits. We're building good habits. We're getting repetitions about how to be the best team we can be by the end of the year, and how we can finish out games. That would be the next word for next week.
Yeah.
Learn to finish.
A guy that won't play this year is Terrence Samuel, but he played in the national championship game. Scored in the national championship game, as a matter of fact. What kind of cred does he bring into a locker room and to a practice floor that a coach...
He's been reading my text messages, I think, or my emails. I think he's been... Yeah, Twitter. He's been on my Twitter account. No, Steve, you've nailed it on the head because I've tapped into Terrence as much as I can since the summer and asking him to help this team learn how to win, learn how to compete, learn how to win every drill. And he's just been phenomenal, just incredible. His leadership's been great. His level of competition in practice has been second to none.
Well, he went up against Boatwright and Napier every day.
Every day. Every day. He'd be starting. I can say that with 100%
sure
confidence. If he was eligible to play this year, he'd be starting. That's how much he brings to our team as far as in the locker room, on the floor. His level of competition is just incredible. And I tap into that. Hey, you want a championship? Let's teach these guys how to compete in everything they do. And he's doing it.
When I watched him at UConn, what I loved about him is that he was a defender. He seemed to understand that defense was the first part followed by offense. Is that what does he bring that to the table for you in terms of that learning curve?
He's absolutely fearless.
Yeah.
By the way, that's my sister-in-law.
Good.
Just so you know, just walking around Penn State at the tavern, there's my sister-in-law.
That's okay. She was waving at me. No, she's
Terrence is fearless. He's fearless.
Yeah.
He took a team yesterday. Here's a perfect example, okay?
Right.
He took a team of three freshmen and Donovan Jack and won.
Yeah. Okay. That tells you everything.
That just say no more.
Right.
Three freshmen, Donovan Jack, who's playing at a really high level right now,
right,
senior. He totally gets it at this point.
Yeah.
Terrence just takes that team and Donovan. They do a great job, and they win. That should just show you what type of competitor this is.
You need to walk into – you don't get in shape in camp. You need to walk into camp in shape. What kind of summer and early fall did those kids have?
Yeah, they did a great job. Brandon Spade, our strength coach, did a phenomenal job. These guys have reshaped their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Dickerson, I'm most proud of. He's 6.5 body fat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy for a guy who's 7 foot one. I mean, that's crazy.
That's my right arm.
But everybody has done what they're supposed to do as far as either putting on weight or taking off weight and making sure they're in the best shape possible. And we've done some different things. We've done some yoga. We've done some sand pits. We've done some hills. We've really mixed it up for the guy on the bikes. We've really mixed it up for these guys to keep their attention, to keep them driving, to change their bodies and be in the best physical condition they can be in. And, you know, practice one comes. We it was a tough, long practice.
Sure.
And I felt these guys, condition-wise, were really good.
The three freshmen, we always want to talk about the new people because the fans haven't had a chance to see them yet. So between Reeves, Watkins, Davis, just quick thumbnails on each as to what you see.
Josh Reeves right now is competing at a high level. He's fighting for a starting spot. That's where he is right now. He's a freak athletically. He had a great day yesterday. He won attitude. He's 3 for 3 from three. Rips the rim off as easy as you did when you played back in the day, Steve.
I don't like to brag about it, but thanks.
Mike Watkins is a defending, rebounding machine. Blocks shots like I've never seen. Rebounding the ball a la Ross Travis.
And runs the floor like a gazelle.
And he's got great mitts.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, does he have great hands. He catches everything. It's like he's...
And that
Lester Hayes, like stick them on.
Yeah, but people
right,
don't. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Lester Hayes, Lester, yeah. Very good. We'll
Thank
stick
you.
Them on the
we'll
side.
Stick them on.
But people have no idea how much a play is thrown off just by a drop.
There's no question. If you drop the ball and it's a turnover, we're going on the other way. Here's my brother too. Got the whole family. My whole family's in town. My brother Chris. So yeah, there's no question. It can matter in a one possession game, which we are in constantly.
Yeah.
Only one time last year we were not in a one-possession game. We're in one-possession games, and it's going to come down. You've got to catch the ball. You got to finish. Mike does a great job of that. And real quick
Davis.
On Davis, great rebounder, just unlimited range.
Yeah.
He only needs a half a second or a half a space to get off a three and make threes. Really like where he's come since he's only been here since late August.
First Hoops Club luncheon, by the way, will be October 22nd. That's a Thursday. It'll be at Letterman's. We want to make sure everyone's there for that. Also, Coaches versus Cancer. You have some big stuff coming up for that as well.
No question. June 2nd and June 3rd. If you're listening out there, June 2nd and June 3rd, mark it on your calendar, please.
Yes.
It's the 20th anniversary, 20-year anniversary of Coaches versus Cancer. So that was a long time ago, Steve. You were here. I'm sure you were a part of it. I know the tavern was a part of it.
Yes, that was.
And I'm just asking all the coaches, all the former sponsors, all the partners, if you're a volunteer, it doesn't matter. If you were involved in Coaches versus Cancer in any way, shape, or form over the last 20 years, we're asking you to come out.
Yeah.
We're asking you to be a part of it because we really want to blow this out. We're approaching $2.5 million, and it's a great, great percentage now. Working with ACS, a great percentage now is staying right here in this community.
Right.
And it's all affected us in some way, shape, or form. I lost my brother.
Yes.
And we've had our equipment manager, Battle, who's 100% cancer-free. We have Kathy Drysdale, who's almost finishing up on her last chemo. So please, come on out for the 20-year anniversary, and let's make it a big celebration.
One other thing. Next Saturday, I won't be able to be a part of this because I'll be at Ohio State. But it's the Alzheimer's Walk.
Yep.
This is deeply personal to you and me. 2004 with my father, then, 2 years ago, I want to say, with your dad?
It was a little bit longer than that, about 4 or 5
years
ago now.
You and I watched our fathers die twice.
Yeah.
So I'd like to encourage everybody to come out for that as well, because Alzheimer's is something that is personal for us. That's why we talk about it more.
The reason we can talk about it, and Steve's right, it is like twice, because you have him and then you don't have him, but he's still there in body. You can still go visit him, but it's never the same.
No.
How much would you love to go, or I would love to go tell my father I'm the head coach of Penn State, and how proud he would have been.
Yeah.
And for me, I have 4 young children, and maybe you won't find a cure while I'm alive. But hopefully you'll find a cure for my children, because hopefully it's not in our genes, but it might be. And we need to find causes for cancer. We need to find causes to fight Alzheimer's as well.
I remember my dad went to the 2000 Louisiana Tech game, and they had headphones and he listened to the game. But he didn't really know.
Well, they're the things we got to remember and cherish and love.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure I slipped that in as well.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey.
And come out to a practice, please.
I'll be there soon.
Please come out to a practice. I know you're busy. A couple things going on.
Yeah.
And I just want to say go football. Go James Franklin.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's get this big win on Saturday.
Pep talk. I'm ready.
Oh, I can give some pep talks. But I can't do it over the radio. Sorry. Do we have a beeper ready? Is the beeper ready?
It's okay. I've been there.
Thanks so much.
Back with more.
All right. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now, that's the holiday spirit.
Owning a brand-new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I mean, we're on the app.
Yeah.
So aren't we a global event?
Every afternoon from 3 to 5.
I mean, and then I think Kevin kind of sets an interesting climate, so that would make us an interesting global climate event.
Oh, can you believe there's a comedian for climate change? Oh, that's got to be a bucket of yuckles, I'll tell you. Oh, man.
There you have it.
Look, the glacier just fell into the ocean. That's a good one.
Oh, slap your knee on that.
All right, fabulous, great stuff, love it. Okay, don't forget to tip your waitress, I'm back at 7. All right.
Hey, I think Toronto and Texas are still tied, going into about the 12th inning.
4-4 in the bottom of the 12th, and Houston's up 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Astros, boy, they're looking for a third straight postseason winner.
Not bad.
Suddenly got a...
State of Texas is on a roll.
So much for all that postseason experience you need.
Steve, tomorrow, we know that Indiana flies into Happy Valley. What's the other big game in the Big Ten tomorrow?
That's a good question. I would say Northwestern and Michigan would be the one I want to take a good, long, hard look at.
Yeah, I think.
I think that one there, Michigan lost the opener to Utah. You're like, yeah, they lost. And they turned the ball over, three, four times
easily
in that game. But you know what? To the credit of Jim Harbaugh. Now, number one, Brady Hoke recruited really well, and everybody knew that. But Harbaugh's able to organize it in such a way where it's functional. He's put a really a culture in there that the players believe in. And so they're really playing. Michigan's playing really well. I got to give him credit. And Northwestern, I don't think, has played this physical in the trenches since the 1995 team.
And that was the team that went to the Rose Bowl, was it not?
Yeah, they went to the Rose Bowl, lost to USC. Darnell Autry was their running back.
Yeah.
Gary Burnett was the coach. And they really, to their credit, were a physical team up front. And this is probably the most physical Northwestern team I've seen on both sides of the ball since.
You know,
they have a good running game, good defense, quarterback, and a little up and down.
I just like their coach a lot. Pat has done a really good job at Northwestern. Just a good guy. I kind of cheer for him on the side.
A lot of people like him. A lot of people do. And I can understand why.
I remember a guy named Paterno who thought highly of him.
Oh, a lot of people think highly of Pat. And, you know, they have strict academic standards that they have to adhere to. I think he managed, from the outside looking in, I think he managed the unionization issue very well publicly, and it seems like privately as well, because that's the kind of issue that can maybe rip a team apart, and he kind of kept them together. He's done some good things there, and he appears to be a rock-solid leader.
Yeah, so I think you're right. Iowa has a big game in the Big Ten, I think, tomorrow as well. Do they not?
Iowa has to play tomorrow. Who does Iowa play tomorrow? So I haven't seen the full schedule yet.
Okay.
Do they play? They don't play Minnesota tomorrow, do they?
They might.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking anyway. Yeah. Kirk Ferentz is doing a good job again.
Well, Minnesota can't throw the ball, and C.J. Beathard is having a really, really good year, to his credit, at quarterback. It's one of the reasons why they made the decision. You know, Jake Rudock ended up transferring to Michigan, and he had been the starting quarterback. Well, that's because back in January, Kirk Ferentz announced that C.J. Beathard was going to be his quarterback, and that's as simple. I mean, and so
yeah.
Rudock looked around and said, okay, where can I go now? Let's see this full schedule here.
By the way, Iowa hosts Illinois tomorrow.
Then that's not a good.
Let's see. Third, let's see. Nebraska plays. Let's see. Tomorrow's the 10th. So
yep.
Illinois is Iowa. Minnesota's at Purdue. Nebraska plays at home with Wisconsin. Northwestern's at Michigan. Let's see. Indiana's at Penn State. Maryland's at Ohio State. Michigan State's at Rutgers. That's another night game at Rutgers. And so there's the schedule of games. It's all Big Ten games tomorrow.
And, you know, those Rutgers fans are really so kind and flattering of the opposition during night games. That'll be a real pleasing game for the Michigan State fans.
Yeah. It's amazing how when it's over and you've won, that stuff doesn't really matter.
In the final analysis.
Final analysis doesn't matter. I remember Jack and me walking in last year because we came in on the team bus.
Right.
So you know, the two of us would just get off and we veer off from everybody else because we have to go to the press box. And all these fans are up against the gate yelling, screaming, flipping the finger at us and so forth. And I looked at Jack and says, look at that. I says, you got to give them credit. They're trying to intimidate the broadcast team.
Yes. Man, they had Jack Hammond and you shaking in your boots.
And the two of us were like, how could we possibly do the broadcast now?
Jack's pretty tough to intimidate, isn't he, Steve?
I don't think I've ever seen him intimidated by anything.
No.
And then tomorrow afternoon, another local college game. We get to hear the voice of Kevin Herr and Doug Birdsong when Lehigh comes up to visit the Bison of Bucknell.
We had Doug on the show yesterday. It was great to have Doug on the show. He does a great job. And the two of them will call the game on Eagle 107 tomorrow. And it's good to have Bucknell home. They get Army, I think, what, next week, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, that's game at Mikey Stadium. So
yeah,
that is the week in review there. Now, the baseball playoffs, all four series are in action today. And the Rangers, Toronto, bottom of the 12th, now 4-4. Middle of the third, Houston leads at Kansas City, now 4-1. Cubs at St. Louis tonight, Mets at the Dodgers.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
yeah, that Mets-Dodgers game is DeGrom versus Kershaw. That should be a dandy.
Yeah, the deal on Kershaw is going to be interesting. I don't know. Kershaw, Kershaw is interesting in that he's always been a great regular season pitcher. And now there are a lot of people that have been rising to his defense about, well, he's only had two bad innings and it's only been the Cardinals and blah, blah, blah. Look, not everybody has a great postseason outing. I know that. Whitey Ford is the World Series record holder, I believe, with 10 wins. But I think he also lost 7 games in his World Series career. He's 10-7. So he didn't go out and he wasn't 10-0. It's not as if John Lester's ever lost a postseason game. He has. And Bob Gibson lost 2 World Series games, or at least was tagged as being the losing pitcher. But at the same time, you do have to have some point where you become the dominant figure in the series for the right reason. And he's being paid a lot of money to be the guy. Now, if I'm Don Mattingly and I have a choice between Greinke and Kershaw to start game one, I still go with Kershaw. And then I put Greinke in game two because that's been my pattern all year and it's worked for me to have one in back of the other like that. And I think it's made Greinke a little more effective. And Kershaw, for the most part, in the second half has pitched really, really well. I'm just saying that Kershaw is... It's interesting. You still can't bypass the 7 ERA. I mean, I don't care if it's like, you'll hear, Colin Cowherd, it's only two bad innings. Colin lost the games, okay?
Yeah.
Did not win the games, all right? And not only that, but guess what? It's the postseason. A bad inning does cost you.
It's a new season. Wow. You're starting 0-0. And as you said, a lot of money on the line for Clayton Kershaw on his year's salary, but that includes the playoffs. So, step up on the mound and do it.
Look, he's an outstanding pitcher, and what I respect is that he's wanted to take the ball on short rest in his career. I respect that very, very much. Now, he's making $30 million a year right now, too. And when you look at what he's done, his regular season numbers, Kershaw has an ERA in the regular season of 2.43 and 114 wins. His 162 game average is 16-8. Really, really good. He's been a 21 game winner twice. And this year, 2.13 ERA, outstanding. I mean, his ERA the last 3 years, 1.83, 1.77, 2.13. All right, now here's the issue. In the postseason, he's 1-5 with a 5.12 ERA. And that's the issue for him in the postseason. And they've only won of the six games that he has pitched in. Now, two of them were relief appearances against the Phillies in 2008. I mean, he's just a kid. But they've lost four of the six games. So in terms of figuring into the winning and losing, the problem is the last 2 years in 13 and 14 – both against the Cardinals, he's gone 0-4, and his ERA has been 7.15 in his last four postseason starts. So what do you derive from that?
I would think two things, Steve. One, it's mental on his side where, I've got to face the Cardinals. They're really good. But it's also on the opposing team's batters who go on, Kershaw doesn't do well in the playoffs.
Right.
It's now the playoffs. Let's go up and hit him hard. And so you have got that going for you, too.
Because the Phillies beat the heck out of him in 2009. He had 9.45 ERA in two games in the 2009 NLCS.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, you look at what he. You want to talk about a guy? Is he falling apart in terms of walks and strikeouts? Well, in the six series he's been in, he has 58 strikeouts and 18 walks. All right, it's a 4-1 strikeout to walk ratio. That's not bad.
That's impressive.
That's fine. There's no issue with that at all. But he's also given up six home runs. That's a big one. The six home runs he's given up. And he's given up 32 runs in 51 innings. That's not a small number.
Not for playoff baseball. That's for sure.
No, I mean, yeah, and you're not going to be perfect every time out. You're not going to be perfect. I got that. But at the same time, when they are handing you $30 million a year, I mean, he has a 7-year, $215 million contract. All right, if you're a Dodger fan, what do you expect?
Well, $1 million a game on the line is what I expect, and I expect him to pitch like a $1 million pitcher every time. Because that's what he's getting paid per game.
I mean, that's exactly right, Bob. I mean, with the huge contract does come big expectations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, if he is supposed to be your ace, which I believe, I know Greinke's been great, but I mean, but you know, he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And Kershaw's a horse. He'll pitch extra innings. He'll pitch with short rest, the whole thing. I completely respect him for that. But at the same time, there has to be a point where the one area where you have critics is your postseason resume. That's the one area that he has critics. Well, he takes the ball tonight. Guess what? You can shut them up and pitch great.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, the other game is going to be the team that beat the Pirates versus the St. Louis Cardinals, the team whose name I do not speak.
The Cardinals, by the way, do not have Martinez. So the guy that would be starting game one tonight isn't pitching in the postseason. The Cardinals may be 100 wins, but they have problems. I mean, they have so many guys hurt, including their number one guy that would be pitching game one tonight. I think what Lester must get the ball tonight for the Cubs, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
I would assume that he gets it tonight.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So there's another guy, $155 million contract. What do you expect out of him? I mean, if you're going to get all this big money, see, that's one of the things that we're seeing now, is that when big money is involved, big expectations are involved. I think, fair enough?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's what we see in today's professional sports. Big money means big expectations. Kershaw made $30 million this year. Okay? Guess what? A 7.15 ERA ain't going to cut it tonight. All right? $30 million means you got to give up two runs or fewer over eight innings. If it turns out your team doesn't score, I'll still say you had a great outing.
And you know what's going to happen. If Kershaw pitches in New York, the Mets fans will remind him of his post-season shortcomings in a very loud manner.
Well, the other night, the Pirate fans chanted, "Arrieta, Arrieta." He struck out 11, still hasn't given up a run yet. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now, that's the holiday spirit!
Owning a brand-new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Kevin's battling traffic on I-80 getting to Central Mountain.
I pity the chief being having to ride along with him then.
Well, Kevin thinks he's in the homecoming parade and he's one of the floats, so he's, you know, it's taking him longer because he is slowed down and he's waving to people. And yeah. I'm like, Kevin, you're not the Grand Marshal. They brought in somebody else.
You mean he's not tight with Keegan-Michael Key?
No,
who spoke to the football team yesterday, who did his James Franklin impersonation for the football team yesterday.
That was awesome.
He's the Grand Marshal. So.
Yeah, and you've got a big game coming tomorrow afternoon. When are you on the air then, Steve?
10:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Pacific, Bob.
Oh. just in case I wake up in California, I'll listen in at 7:30.
What are we on, Sirius 135 tomorrow or something like that? So, yeah.
I think it's going to be an intriguing game tomorrow. I really do.
Well, look, you don't have obviously, if you have two ranked teams, it's considered a big game. Northwestern is playing Michigan. Big game. Both teams are ranked. But you don't have to have two ranked teams where you know the game is important on each side in shaping their season.
Absolutely right.
That's what tomorrow is. What a pleasure, Tony, it was having you here.
It is always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure.
I don't think Bob and I have been this relaxed doing the show since... When's the last time you were here, Tony?
couple weeks ago I filled in for Kevin, remember? Was that the infamous Labor Day party that he didn't know about?
I think it was.
I believe it was. I think it's the last time we were that relaxed.
I think so, yeah.
Well, Steve, have a great call tomorrow. I will stop by with some friends to say hello at the Bryce Jordan Center.
Look forward to it, Bob. Be fun. We'll be out there at 10:30 tomorrow till about maybe 11:20 or so.
Great.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.